the book of Ephesians, scripture by scripture. And that's going to be Ephesians chapter 3. We will go through from verse 4 to part of verse 8. And I'm going to start from verse 8 next week, Lord willing. Just to let you know that as we are going through the book of Ephesians, it's, you know, something that really encourages us is although our church is small here, we got about 200 people a day getting to our website. And out of the 200 people who are getting to our website, most of the people, they listen to the sermons. So we praise God. A lot of people are listening to the sermons through the internet. And so when I'm speaking here, I'm not speaking to everybody here, but also I'm speaking to a vast crowd over there listening. And I don't see them, but I know they are hearing the word of God. So I'm speaking to a vast crowd wherever they are listening. So Ephesians chapter 3, starting from verse 4. By which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it was now being revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And if you have been following this, Paul is really putting the emphasis on the Gentiles, as it's still going very strong, as the middle wall has been broken. Gentile and the Jew are one, and we are all built on the foundation of Christ. Christ being the cornerstone, going on the same subject. All right? So I can go through more scriptures because we have gone through most of it before. Now, let me ask you a question here. The verse 4 says that Paul is saying, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. How do you know that we all have sinned against God? How do you know that we are all under condemnation before God? How do you know that God can forgive the sinner and in Christ Jesus, and that you can have eternal life? If you ask these questions from an average person on the street, they don't know how to answer. The answer to all these questions is that the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells. You will know that the answers when you read, because it says in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 verse 4, as we go, Paul is saying here, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge. So for you to understand, first you need to read the Bible. Simple as that. If you don't read the Bible, you do not understand. Now, as I told you before, it is very sad. About 90% of the Americans here in the United States own a Bible. About 90%. That's a lot. But out of that 90%, only few are reading. Many are not reading at all. They have a Bible in the home, just like as having a picture of Jesus or a cross. So they have a Bible, thinking that the Bible would be a blessing. The Bible will not be a blessing until you read, understand, and take it to your heart. Now, Apostle Paul tells us in verse 4, when you read, you will understand the knowledge of the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ. The knowledge of the mystery of Christ. Now turn, hold on to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 4 and turn to Matthew chapter 13 verse 11. Matthew 13, 11. Jesus, he answered and said to them, verse 10 says, and the disciples came and asked him, why do you speak to them in parables? So the answer that Jesus gave in verse 11 is, because it has been given to you to know what? The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. And I'll tell you, this is where, when we go and preach the gospel, how is that some people understand and but some doesn't? How is that your neighbor doesn't understand but you understand? How is that average, lot of people who are highly educated, they don't understand, but just a general person understands it? The reason is, God is the one who reveals it to man. Remember, Jesus asked Peter, who do you think I am? Peter said, you are the Holy One, the Son of the living God. What did Jesus say? Heaven, the Father is the one who revealed that to Peter. It's not Peter. So here we see again the mysteries of the knowledge of the mystery of Christ is revealed to his children. His children. Not to ungodly people who have no desire to follow Christ. Now, if you have a thirst for God and read his word and follow him, you are a true Christian. To the other spiritual, there are many people, the spiritual thing does not matter. It's not a priority. The priorities for most people is their flesh. The food is their stomach and not the word of God. I heard on news the other day, unbelievable, this is what I heard on the news. And I heard that since 1990, people have put on additional weight, that the airlines spend more fuel and it costs the airlines millions of dollars per year because of the additional weight where the people have put on. Yeah, amazing, isn't it? People are more concerned of food than spiritual food. Remember when Jesus fed the thousands and he went to the other side of the lake and a lot of people wanted to follow him? Jesus said, you're coming for the food, not for spiritual food. New statistics revealed that about 64.5% of the American adults, they are overweight, according to the newspaper USA in 2002. How about today, after 2 years later? It's amazing. Once people realize when they are overweight, a lot of people, they dig their graves with their forks here, really speaking. And once they realize they spend too much money on food, they don't care about the spiritual food, the word of God. It's a stomach that concerns too much. And once they realize they are getting too much, they spend a lot of money on food, then after that they spend a lot of money on diet and exercise. Doesn't make sense, isn't it? Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Turn with me to Psalm 73. Verse 25, which is one of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 73:25. God's word says, Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. Wow. You talk about God being number one. Love the Lord with all your heart, your mind and soul. My flesh and my heart fail, But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know, as Christians are Christians, I'm talking true Christians, are making spiritual attainments as the true Christians hunger and thirst after God. You know, all the other things comes before, but God comes number one. God is before all the other things. The image of God is stamped on the Christian soul. He values God more than anything in the world that the world can give. We have chosen God as our portion. That's what the psalmist saying. Even though things are not going to work out right, things are going to fall apart, but we have chosen God as our portion. There's none on earth or on heaven that we choose, but only God alone. Above everything else, only all the things of the earth, you know, all the material things, all the happiness and the joy that the earth can give, it's going to fade away. Only the spiritual things that you have done is never going to fade away. See, Psalm chapter 84, verse 10. A day in your court is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Wow. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Let's go on Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3 verse 5 says, in which other ages was not made known to the Son of Man, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets. Yes, the apostles and the prophets were sent by God to the people. Why? So they can tell the will of God. What is the will of God? The truth. Nothing but the absolute truth. The will of God to the people has to be told. That's why the apostles and the prophets were sent. Now, that's not a very comfortable job to tell the will of God to the people, because the people's will is opposite to the will of God. That's why the prophets were stoned, they were ridiculed, they were persecuted, because God's will is opposite to this, our will. Alright, now here the mystery of God was told not only to the Jews, only what the apostles say, but also now to the Gentiles. The question is, when you tell the good news of the gospel, when you go on the street or tell a person, you know, I want to tell you about the gospel. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. I want to share you the good news. I want to show you how you can have eternal life. You know, we have done this many times, and a lot of people say, no, thank you. I'm busy. Many people, they have no thirst for God, but I'll tell you, that should not stop us. That should not discourage us. Because we are told to go and preach the gospel. If you are a Christian, read again verse 5. It says here, which in the ages was not made known to the Son of Man, it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets. So here is the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals the mystery of God, the understanding of the Word of God to the people. It's the same Holy Spirit that lives in us, reveal this to the apostles. So the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit that is in you will not enjoy your worldly, fleshly entertainments, what you like to do. The Holy Spirit has come. Why? To convict us of sin, right? And to guide us into all truth. It is the Holy Spirit that revealed this mystery, the truth to the apostles and also to us. So the Holy Spirit has come to us. When we are trying to do something and we know it's not right, the Spirit will convict us, that's not right what you're going to do. And also the Spirit in us will guide us and direct us in God's will, in His way. Turn with me to, holding on to that, turn with me to John chapter 16, verse 13. 16:13. Ever when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. That goes along what we are speaking, right? But it's sad that many are guided, listen to me, many are guided not by the Holy Spirit, but many are guided by their emotions. Isn't that true? Many are guided by their emotions and their flesh. Or many are guided not by the Holy Spirit, by their worldly friends. Many are guided by the standard of the world. Many are guided by the popular demands of the majority of the people, because everybody is following, so I would do that. Not by the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus said, broad is the road to destruction, and many will follow. But narrow is the way to life, because few people are going to take that narrow road, because that's not going to be the popular road. That's the reason, because people are not guided by the Holy Spirit, not by the Word of God, the result is what? We got a lot of cults running around, a lot of false doctrines all over, because it's all by emotions. Now let me tell you something. Listen, many people like to go to a church because I met a girl yesterday, and she asked me where our church was, and she said, I like to go to this church because I like the music. Many people like to go to a church because they can get their emotions built up, but not what the Holy Spirit had to say. And that's really sad. Now, once the Holy Spirit comes and guides you, the Holy Spirit will not guide you into the comforts of this world. Holy Spirit is not guide you to the broad road, but will take you on a journey that your flesh is not going to like. Which is what? The narrow road. Turn with me to Matthew on that subject. Keep that in thought and turn to Matthew chapter 23:34. Matthew 23:34 said, therefore indeed I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit will guide you and you start to preach the gospel. People aren't going to like it. But I'll tell you, that's the will of God. We got to do the will of God, not our will. It's not what our flesh wants to do, but what God wants to do. Emotions in the flesh will look always for comfort. My flesh, my emotions always look for comfort. But the Spirit of God is opposite to my flesh. And that's why I had to heed to the Holy Spirit, not to my emotions. And when I heed to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit will discipline me. And with that discipline comes what? Christian growth. Now, growth is not, in growing, is not an easy thing. That's going to be hard, difficult, but there will be Christian growth. You can honestly tell which road you are taking if you are growing in Christ or not. If you are not growing in Christ, maybe you are not taking the narrow road. Let's go to verse 6 in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. Let's continue. Then Apostle Paul says, now remember we have been following through, that it's the Holy Spirit that revealed the understanding to the apostles. Then verse 6, that the Gentiles should fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Now I told you before, this mystery of Christ is basically what Paul is talking about, this mystery. If you remember last time I said, the word mystery is what? The word mystery is something that was hidden in the Old Testament, now revealed in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it was the Jews, right? They had the commandments, they had the... Everything was centered upon Jews. But here in the New Testament, the mystery. That means the Gentiles were brought in, right? So that's what Paul is saying here. The grace of God was given to those undeserving, sinful Gentiles like us. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. Ephesians 2:16 says, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body, the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Then verse 17, he came and preached peace to who were far off. We are the ones who were far off, to those who were near. And near were the Jews. For through him both have access by one Spirit to the Father, that the Gentiles and Jews both have access if they are in Christ. See verse 11. Therefore, remember that once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh of the hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. Now God put Gentiles and Jews back in one. He's not the God of the Jews only, but God of the Gentiles too. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Apostle Paul says, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Now, here is a word that is being misunderstood, the word minister. Usually, when you say about the word minister, it comes to your mind, a pastor or a reverend is the minister. Right? Now, if you look at the word minister, our English word minister comes from the Latin word minister, which stems, it really means minor or less. Now, minor or less, that's what the minister means. It really distinguishes from the word master. Master is the one who is above, who has authority. We are called to minister means to serve. Serve our master, Christ the Lord. So if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit will use you to minister. Or you can be in a ministry, meaning serving God. Most people, they wish to serve God during the sermon. But as soon as they go out, their thought is perished, is gone away. Most people hearing the sermon, oh, I want to serve, I want to witness, I want to pray, I want to do this. But how, as soon as you leave the church, it's like Satan comes and puts some kind of thing in your mind, it's gone. You forget. After 30 minutes, if I ask you, what did I preach? Many will not even remember. That's so sad. But if I ask you, but people remember other things, the worldly things, the gossip and these things like that. Very good. But not the Word of God. Where is your portion? Is it God or the world? Now, Paul is saying that he was a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to him by the effective working of his power. You know, to be a minister, let me tell you something. There are four things that are really required for the service of God. Four things, really important. If you are doing something for the Lord, first thing you need to remember, it is from God. It has to come from God. And the second thing is, it is for God what you are doing. And the third thing is, you are not doing alone. God is with you together. And the fourth thing is, glory goes to God, whatever you are doing. All the glory goes to God. As we see here, Apostle Paul is saying, he is a minister according to the gifts of the greater God given to me by the effective working of his power. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't do it. These four things go together in the ministry. And don't look for human reward or human recognition at all, because it's the work of God. Let's go to verse 8. To me, whom I am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now I'm going to go through only half of this scripture because we are going to continue next week. Now let me tell you, Apostle Paul is saying that he is the least of all the saints. That means he is not the most greatest, but he is the least of all the Christians. Now this is total opposition to the worldly view. Paul is an apostle. Jesus spoke to him directly from heaven. He is one who has been taken up to third heaven and seen incredible things, if you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe. And also, he met the other apostles. Man, he can boast a lot if he wants to. He met Peter, James, and everybody else. He's an apostle. And today's motto is, be prideful. Be yourself. Have pride. But the Bible is totally opposite to the worldly view. The Bible says that pride can lead you to destruction. Because of pride today, there are quarrels, fights, right? Arguments, killings, all because of pride. Let me tell you a story. A true story. In the summer of 1986, two ships collided in the Black Sea off the coast of Russia. Hundreds of passengers died as they were hurled into the icy waters below. News of the disaster was further darkened when an investigation revealed the cause of the accident. Now, it wasn't a technology problem like radar malfunction or thick fog. It was not like that. So nothing to do with technology, nothing to do with the radar. Nothing to do with the fog. The cause was human stubbornness. Each captain was aware of the other ship's presence nearby, but both could have steered clear. But neither wanted to give way to the other. They were both stubborn and they didn't want to give in, and they were both stubborn coming at each other. They wanted the other person to move, not this one. But each was so proud to yield first By the time they came to their senses, it was too late. That is pride. But in Christianity, there is no room for pride in Christianity. Because pride is the greatest sin in Christianity, because the enemy, the devil, Satan, was so prideful that he wanted to become like God. Remember, the disciples asked this question from Jesus. If you turn with me to Matthew 18:1. Matthew 18:1. At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" That's a question they want to know, and they were probably thinking, maybe I would be the greatest. Now what is the answer of Jesus? See verse 4. "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So, whoever therefore shall humble himself will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In Christianity, when you grow, the more you come to know God, the more you come closer to God, you will get more humble before God. A good illustration is you found in John chapter 3, verse 30. John 3, chapter 3, 30. And here we see the story. Actually, if you go to verse 22, "All these things Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing Enon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized." So here you get disciples with John and disciples with Jesus. Alright? "For John had not yet been thrown into prison, for there arose a dispute," verse 25, "between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, 'Rabbi, he who was with you," that is talking of Jesus, "beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him." So people are saying here, "Hey John, everybody is going to Jesus now. What are you going to do?" Now, if it's a worldly thing that happened in this world today, there will be jealousy, envy, upset, right? Why everybody leaving me and going to him? But what did John say? Oh, I turned my Bible away. Let's see. What did John say? 27. "And John answered and said, 'A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourself bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him.'" He didn't say, "I am not the Christ, I am not the greatest." Then verse 29. "He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's wife. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled." He is saying, "I'm excited. I'm so joyful that they are going to Jesus." Verse 30. "He must increase, but I must decrease." Wow. That is humility. That's a true servant of God. That's a true servant of God. You know, I don't care how educated you are in Christianity, how much knowledge you have in Christianity, but if you don't have humility, you're not close to God. Remember, Isaiah chapter 6, remember, when the king died after 54 years of rule, everybody was weeping. Isaiah went to the temple. Isaiah chapter 6, 1 says, he saw the Lord. When he saw the Lord, what did he say? "Woe unto me. I am wretched. The more you come to close to God, the more you say you're sinful, the more you come to Lord, the more humble you will get, because God gets the increase. Now, as Christian, we should not be greedy, always looking to get from others. That is selfishness. This is not true Christianity. We should take this example of humility. We need to honor and prefer others more than ourselves. Romans chapter 12 verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectionate one another with brotherly love, honor preferring one another." Now, we are talking about humility, ministry, growth. If you have been following this sermon, there are four things that are very important. Number one is the knowledge, right? We read that before. If you don't read the Bible, you don't get the knowledge. Then we saw humility. Then we see growth. We see service. All these things goes together. Have you ever wondered why God is not using to minister to others? Say, where's my ministry? Where do I come in? Maybe the problem could be pride. God cannot use you. God cannot use a prideful person for his ministry. Once God humbles a person, he's ready to use. See the second part of the verse in chapter 3, verse 8. It says here, "Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles?" God gives a grace. Once you're humble, once you kneel, realize that you're nothing, that you're least of the Christians, God humbles you. Then God will use you. Now I'll tell you, the greatest example of humility is no other than Jesus Christ. In Christ, we see the infinite glory in Christ. And also in Christ, we see the lowest humility. In Christ, we see the infinite glory and lowest humility meeting together. Because why? He's both God, and he's God and man. As God, he's infinitely glorious. As a man, he was infinitely in humility. Now, before I finish, I want to just bring one more word here, which is not here, but is so important. As in this service, if we want to serve God, know God, knowledge, serving in humility, and all these things are important. Why is it that some are not growing in the Lord? Why? You can sum up one word, and I have repeated many times, and the word is sanctification. Sanctification. The word Christians are set apart to a holy use. The word sanctification means, is the same word in hagios, in the Greek word hagios, means set apart. Christians are set apart for holy use. They are sanctified persons separated from the world. And you are set apart for the service of God. When you are separated from the world, then you will grow in Christ. But if your foot is in the world and the other foot is in God, there's no way you can grow. You're lukewarm. Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, he will spit you out, in the book of Revelation. Now, sanctification, when you're set apart, it will take away the love for sin. A hypocrite may leave sin, yet the hypocrite will love the sin. It's like a serpent casting out the cord, but still has its sting. But a sanctified person can say he not only leaves the sin, but now I hate the sin. If you are sanctified, once you really hate the sin, not only leave, you hate the sin, then you can partake the divine nature. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption. That is sanctification, isn't it? Escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. There you go. All right, we will continue next week, and really want to remember that what we have been studying is, I'll tell you, is so, so important that we as Christians, we need to grow in Christ, we need to love the Lord, we need to get into His Word, and we need to put all the other things away that comes, all the worldly stuff. That's not going to help you, you know. Don't go for the food that perishes, but go for the food that can give eternal life. And there's a lot of work to do. We are living in exciting times. We're living in the last days, difficult days, and things are not going to get easy. And, you know, and there are so many opportunities that we can preach the gospel. We got so much material in our fellowship we can give to people. So much material. And, you know, it's amazing. The Lord is blessing the internet ministry. The Lord is blessing, and there are 200 people getting every day to our internet and listen to the sermons. But here again, we got a very small fellowship here, and we got to do the works of an evangelist. Let's pray. Father, we pray and ask, Lord, of all what we heard, Lord, that we would keep it in our heart, that we would keep these things close to our heart, Lord. Lord, that we would hide these things in our hearts so that we won't sin against you, Lord. We pray and ask, Lord, that you be exalted and glorified, that you would be magnified, Lord. We pray and ask, Lord God Almighty, that the word that we heard, Lord, that we will remember and meditate it for the rest of this week, Lord. Lord, we pray and ask, Lord, that we would not be busybodies thinking of worldly things, Lord. But we would follow the narrow road, Lord. That we would tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. That you would open doors, Lord, that we can be used as men and women of God, Lord. Father, oh Lord, that as we grow more, we come to you, Lord. We pray and ask, Lord, that you would crucify our flesh, our pride. Nevertheless, not us, but Christ will live through us, Lord. Father, above all, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would give us agape love, that we can love even the enemies, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing this song.